2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and scrolls, especially the parchments. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. I want to preach for a little while today using as a subject, I'm just trying to maintain. I'm just trying to maintain. Whoever you're seated beside, would you just look at him and tell him, in this season, all I'm trying to do is maintain. I recently read an intriguing treatise entitled The Survivor's Club, authored by Ben Sherwood. And in that work, he introduces the reader to Dr. Gordon Geisricht from the University of Winnipeg. He's affectionately known as the Popsicle Professor because he plunges himself into hypothermia, bringing his own temperature to 88.16 degrees. He's done this feat almost 39 times. And the reason why he's done it is because he is trying to understand why so many people freeze to death, trying to give some semblance and some science as to how it is the body responds in frigid atmospheres. It is part of his aim to dispel the myth of hypothermia, that hypothermia kills quickly. He declares, Dr. Gordon does, that if you think you have a few minutes to live, then it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. The cold is not necessarily the thing that kills you. It is the shock that you're in the cold. Much of, my dear friends, of that which you think is killing you is not the reality, but it is the shock that you're in, the circumstance you're in. John Leach, in his epic work, The Psychology of Survival, says that every person who finds themselves in an adversarial situation deals with a 10-80-10, a 10-80-10. He says, in survival mode, 10% will handle a crisis in relative calm and in a rational state of mind. They will assess the situation clearly and deal with the duress methodically. But that's only 10% of the population. He says, 80% become stunned and bewildered, and their reasoning becomes impaired, and as a consequence, they begin to think differently, and they respond in a reflexive and a mechanical manner. He said, but the last 10% do the wrong thing. They behave inappropriately and often counterproductively, making the situation worse than what it was, and they lose control. I wonder, for those of you who are here sitting under the sound of my voice, what percentile in a crisis do you fit in? Are you in the 10% that handles the crisis with calm? Or are you in the 80% that is stunned and bewildered? Or are you in the 10% that do the wrong thing? Many times we can do an assessment psychologically of the psychology of survival of those disciples that were on the ship, that when the storm began to bellyache and begin to have an asthma attack, many of them found themselves in the 80% because they thought that the ship was going to turn upside down. And 10% of them did the wrong thing. They went to the master and said, Savior, carest thou not if we perish? How do you respond when you're facing a crisis? Another myth that is connected to hypothermia is that most of the heat escapes from your head. It does not escape from your head. Most of it does not. Most of it escapes from your body. Proportionately, 90% of your heat escapes from below your neck, when only 8 to 9% escapes from your head. In actuality, Dr. Gordon surmises, wearing a hat was in fact just your mother's aim to keep you covered. But that is not how you got a cold. How you got a cold was because your body was not properly wrapped. You did not receive the cold from your head, but rather from your body. The optimum core body temperature for human beings is that we would maintain a temperature of 98.6 degrees. If it drops just a few digits below that, then everything in your body, in your physiology, will begin to break down. At 91 degrees, you'll begin to hallucinate. At 90 degrees, your heart will begin to beat out of rhythm. At 88 degrees, you won't even shiver because of the coldness, but you'll begin to slip into a coma of subconsciousness. At 86 degrees, you'll be completely unconscious. And at 80 degrees, you will begin to die. My dear friends, it is the aim that you would maintain at 98 degrees. And so I really just came to serve as a weather forecaster to declare unto you that life for you is getting ready to get cold. And your one aim in this season is simply to maintain. The enemy understands that it will not take a lot of degrees for you to lose your consciousness of who you are. That it will not take a lot to push you over the edge. That you don't need much assistance feeling like you're getting ready to die. But if you can just get in your spirit that I'm going to maintain at the level that I'm in, that the enemy does not have the authority, the power, or the wherewithal to push me lower than where I am. Can I suggest to somebody summarily that whatever you're going through right now is the coldest it's going to be. But if you can get your mind wrapped around the reality that Jeremiah says, it feels like fire shut up in my bones. And see, somebody who's sitting around you doesn't understand why you're clapping the way you're clapping, the reason why you're shouting the way you shout. They don't know. I'm just trying to maintain my temperature. Because if I sit any colder, I don't know whether or not my spirit is going to freeze. But when I got into the house of the Lord, I just had to remind myself, it feels mighty good being on the Lord's side. See, some of you don't have to deal with cold and jealous co-workers. Some of you don't have to live in a cold house. Some of y'all ain't sleeping beside a cold spouse. But those of you who know, the only way I've been able to maintain myself is I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Yeah, it can become a cold for you. And when we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, what we find is Paul is just trying to maintain. He's trying to maintain. You'll find him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, where he says, I fought the good fight of faith. And I'm talking to some real people in this room who, even after you did your best for other people, it felt like you still didn't measure up. You gave all that you could. You tried everything, and they still complaining, they still murmuring, they still got their hand out, and you looking like, are you serious? After everything I just did, that's still not good enough for you? Said, I fought a good fight. I did all that I could, but I still feel undervalued. I still feel underappreciated. I still feel like I'm being torn hither and yon. I know y'all have never ever felt that way before, but have you ever felt like you're just depleted? Not because you tried, but after you tried, you kept being pushed back. After you kept getting back up again, life just kept pushing you back down. And you saying, God, what do you want from me? I pray, I tithe, I read the word, I'm nice to other people, but I ain't got that much left in me. I fought the good fight of faith.
Verse number 9, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, come quickly. I know some of you have never been at that place before in your life where you needed some emergency care. That what I need from God, I can't wait until February 14th for no God. Tell me you love me now. I can't talk to no real people in here. You are saying, God, come quickly. In case you didn't realize it, it's the first of the month. The rent due tomorrow, car note due tomorrow, insurance is due the 15th, and you sitting there with a tithing envelope in your hand saying, God, you better come quickly. Yeah, some of you are not in need of God doing an accelerated blessing. You don't mind if God just meanders through the universe and just takes his sweet time. But there are some of us who are sitting in this sanctuary who are saying, show me where to break glass because this is an emergency. Show me where it is that I can get some help. See, those who don't need anything, they're looking at you with a wayward eye, trying to figure out why you shouting and hollering and yelling. They don't understand, if I ever needed God before, I sure do need him now, because what I'm dealing with is an emergency. Says, come quickly. That's what Paul writes in verse number 9. He says, I'm losing it. I feel like I'm getting ready to fall apart. I feel like I'm getting ready to kill somebody. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to your neighbor. Have you ever just needed God to come quickly because you were losing patience? You were losing your right to be silent. You were losing the ability to look past some stuff. Now you done came to the place that said, you played with me all of 08, and I let you get away with bloody murder in January, but February I'm drawing a line in the sand. If you do one more thing to me, you're going to be introduced to who I really am. Come quickly. I want you to come quickly because I'm in need of some help. I'm losing it. I'm in a situation that's cold. I'm in a situation that's freezing me out. I'm in a situation that I can't even feel myself. When's the last time you heard the sound of your own laughter? When's the last time you smiled authentically? When was the last time you had sustained happiness? When was the last time you felt peace in your own house? When was the last time you had no anxiety about going to the job? When is the last time a bill came and you didn't even have to pause and hesitate? I'm talking to some folk right now. You saying, God, this can't be hell, because hell's supposed to be hot, but I'm frozen out of a situation, and after all of that, you want me to come to a cold church? I need a church that's on fire that can help me get through the coldness of life. Because I'm in a frozen situation. Come quickly. I'm losing it. I can't even feel my hands. I can't even feel myself work. I can't even feel myself in my purpose. I can't even feel whether I'm numb or whether I'm living. Come quickly. And the reason why he's saying come quickly, watch what he says, is because all of my significant relationships have fallen apart. You really don't know what it's like to be left in the cold till you've been in a position where you helped people. God help me. And the very people who you were there for all of a sudden come down with amnesia and act like they got, y'all ain't talking back to me. And anybody know, listen, if you were going to leave, you could have did it in a more decent way. But to handle it, that was cold. And every person who I invested in has forsaken me. Every person I was connected to has walked away from me. Every person I stood there for them, but when I'm going through, everybody now too busy to be there for me. Now that's cold. He says, look at the litany of what he says in the text. He says, Demas left me because he loved the streets more than me. He said, Crescens left me because he wanted to go back to Galatia. He said, Titus left me because he wanted to go to Dalmatia. Everybody has left me, and I'm stuck in a situation where I feel cold. They've all given me reasons why they left, that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't small enough. I wasn't tall enough. I didn't cook enough. I didn't attend to them enough. Everybody has left me. Do me a favor while y'all are out there. Send me Mark. God, I'm getting ready to preach while I'm here. He said, watch it. A whole lot of folk have left me. But if I can get one real person, I don't need a whole lot of folk in my life. But if I can get somebody I can count on to stand with me. Hallelujah. He said, go get Mark, because Mark is good for me in the ministry. Can I say to somebody in this room that in this season, if you can count on one good friend, if you can find somebody who ain't jealous, threatened, or insecure, if you can find one person who can be supportive and excited about your future, you can make it through a cold situation. Look at your neighbor and say, you ought to be glad you sitting beside me. You ought to be glad. I know you ain't got a whole lot of friends, I can tell, because you're nervous about being next to me. But you need to know I'm a genuine friend, that if you need somebody to pray, I'll pray with you. If you need somebody to shout, God, help me in here. Somebody say, preach, black man. I'm trying to do the best I can. He said, send me Mark. He said, I just need one person who will stand with me in this storm. And ladies and gentlemen, as your pastor, I want you to know that I'm praying for you, that a God will send you just one real person who got no ulterior motive, who got no secret agenda, who ain't hanging around to see what they can get. But if you fall, they're going to lay down with you and say, when you get up, I'm getting up with you, because I'm connected to who you are. That's what Paul says. He says, I'm in a cold situation, but in the middle of my cold situation, if I can get a real friend, I can make it through this. Look at your neighbor and say, are you the one, or should I look for another? Are you? Hallelujah. I need you to know, whoever you sitting beside, God had you sit beside him because he knew you were going to go through a cold situation. But the person beside you got so much fire in their life that you're going to get warm just by sitting beside. Even if I ain't a shouter, let me sit next to a shouter, because I can get warm off of there. God, help me. Some of y'all better heat up your row. You got some frozen, stuck up, arrogant, tonight, you people. But if you begin to praise him, they'll warm up. Hallelujah. Give your neighbor a high five. Tell him, it feels like fire in here. It's getting ready to warm up in here. I said I wasn't going to shout, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all of... Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Be seated. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Woo. God, help me. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's warming up in here. God's been so good. If you only knew what I went through in January. If you only knew how last week I almost lost it. You would be shouting for me. I get joy when I think about. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Hallelujah. Y'all behave. It's still 7:30. Be seated, please. He said, if you'll send me one person, send me one person, I'll be able to get through this. I'm in verse number 13, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Watch what he says. He says, bring me my cloak. Hallelujah. He says, bring me my cloak because I'm in a cold situation. Watch this. Only 8% of warmth leaves your head. But the other 90% is from your body. Watch what he says. He says, bring me my cloak, because watch what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to maintain. I'm trying to maintain my
temperature at the same level so that this situation doesn't kill me. I can tell y'all are the slow class, because if you got it, you'd be shouting by now. Watch this. He said, all I'm trying to do is just maintain. If I can just keep myself together. God, I wonder if there's anybody here who are saying, God, listen, you ain't got to give me no new house. You ain't got to give me a new car. You ain't got to give me no raise. But if I can just maintain the life I got right now, God, I can't hear nobody. Last week, 70,000 people lost their job. Last week, 100,000 people lost their house. But tomorrow, you going back to that job. Lord, help me to maintain.
Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. See, this takes a different kind of maturity. Takes a different kind of maturity, because a lot of saints only shout over wanting new stuff. Oh my God, y'all just missed what I said. And so if I would have promised them a new car, they'd be doing cartwheels. If I would have told them they're moving to Green Spring Valley, they would be doing somersaults. If I would have told them they're going to be a millionaire by March, they would be giving everybody a high five. But I'm talking to those of y'all who done seen a lot. You done been through a lot. And you're able to say, if I don't have the best house, if I don't have the best car, Lord, the car I got, you better not let it break down. The house I'm in right now, you better not let it foreclose. The job I got, I hate it, but I'm glad I got one. Let me just maintain.
Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, that's all I'm trying to do this year. I'm trying to maintain. You know how many people filed for bankruptcy? You know how many people about to lose their house? I day to shout, Lord, help me maintain.
Be seated. Be seated. It takes a different kind of thinking. Different kind of understanding. If promotion is not for me, at least don't let it go down. y'all ain't talking back to me. If I'm going to make any move, it better go up. I refuse to go backwards. See, I ain't talking to no real folk in here, but I'm talking to those of y'all who've been through. Watch it. Some of y'all ain't never been here. I'm talking to those of y'all, watch this, who've been to the top and had to go back to the bottom, and now you're working your way back up again. God, I know what that feel like. I won't be back there. Let me just maintain.
Say, give me my cloak. Because I want to maintain the temperature I'm in. But that's not where he stops. He says, don't just bring me a cloak. Watch what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. He says, bring me the one I left. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. All right. I'm trying to pace myself. I want to tell you that in this season, what you're getting ready to get from God may not be new stuff. Help me to preach this right. What you're getting ready to get in 2009 is not new stuff. But what I want God to bring to me is what I lost in 08. If I can just get the stuff I dropped, if I can just get the stuff that was taken from me, if I can just get the stuff that somehow or another Lord, fell in the crap from bad investments and poor decisions, Lord, bring it back to me. Says, bring back to me what I left from last year. Bring back to me what I invested in an ingrate. Oh, y'all just missed that. Bring back to me what I put into somebody who didn't appreciate it. God, that's what I want to bring back to me. I know some of y'all like money coming to me now, but the only way it's coming is if a job comes to you now. You got to just say, Lord, whatever the devil stole, bring it back to me. See, some of y'all ain't never lost nothing. You ain't lost no money. You ain't lost no peace. You ain't lost your frame of mind. But if you believe in this hour that God is going to bring back to you whatever it is that you left behind, I want you to just celebrate like God will bring it back.
He says, bring me my cloak. Hear this. Because I want to maintain my body temperature. The cloak, watch this, is to maintain my heart and my soul. But he doesn't stop there. He says, bring me my parchments. Bring me my scroll. Watch this. Because I need something that will excite my intellect. I need something, watch this, that'll make me think beyond where it is that I am. There is a psychological term, I'm going to deal with it in the next service, called situational awareness. In situational awareness, watch this, before I panic, I understand the situation I'm in, and the reason why I don't lose it is because I got to think through it. See, some of you are frozen because you are in an environment where you are no longer intellectually stimulated. You are not around people that provoke thought and make you think at a whole nother level. See, I don't want around people be around people who got mundane dreams and set up for mediocrity. I want to be around people that their ideas make me think twice. To say, God, if you did it for them, what makes you think you can't do it for me? He said, Lord, warm my mind. When was the last time your thinking was stimulated? Notice what I didn't say, that your thinking was not entertained. Yeah, how much TV can you watch in a day? How many hours are you going to waste responding to emails? How much of your conversation is productive? How many of your friendships add something to you? I want to be around people that will not just talk around about other people. I want to be around people that can think about ideas and concepts and dreams. I want to be around people that can discuss the Bible and scripture and what's going on in the world and how I can make an impact. Don't talk to me about who, when, what, and who's sleeping with who. Let me know what you're dreaming about so that my mind can get stimulated. Says, bring me my parchments because I want to be able to think at a whole nother level. In your situation awareness, you got to understand not just where you are, but you got to remember whose you are. I'm getting ready to close, but I would be worried about Paul if the last thing he said was bring me my cloak and bring me something to read. But I better close the text because it looks like y'all are ready to go. But I'm still in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 18 now. Watch what Paul says. He's talking to all of the people who left him. He wrote this letter to all the people that abandoned him. He said this to all of the folk who forsook him. He says in verse number 18, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Lord will rescue me. God help me. Y'all just missed the revelation. There it is. Look at your neighbor. But tell them the Lord will rescue me. I got the wrong church. I wish some of y'all were runaway Baptists. Would you just grab your neighbor by the hand and say, you didn't hear what my pastor just said?
He said, before this month is over, whatever situation I'm in, the Lord will rescue me. Now, because I believe that, I can't wait till the battle is over. All I gotta do is just shout right now. Look at your neighbor and say, play it cool. Say, keep yourself together. Just don't lose your mind, because it may not come when you want him to come. But he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Grab your neighbor's hand. Say, neighbor. Y'all didn't say it right. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, do you know how early in the morning it is? Why are you shouting like that? Why are you screaming like that? Why are you clapping like that? Why are you dancing like that? Tell them, you must not know what I've been through. I'm just trying to maintain. I'm trying to keep myself together. I'm trying not to lose my mind. And so if this is the only thing I can do, let me give God the glory. I'm leaving y'all. But is there anybody here that's just trying to maintain, trying to keep it together? I dare. Yeah, 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 yeah. I dare somebody to praise him like I'm maintaining. Praise him.